The following program is produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.
Sooner or later, you can bet your life that every Jew in this building is going to say the same thing. He's a little too Jewish for my taste.
Shalom, and welcome to Too Jewish with Rabbi Sam Kohan and Friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Mama Donnie, singer-songwriter of innovative and very cute Jewish music. We'll also have a visit from our Mevina on Jewish ethics, Amy Hirschberg-Letterman, our international Jewish expert, Tom Price, and storyteller, Jordan Hill. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. Too Jewish is sponsored this morning by Temple Emmanuel, a Reform Jewish community for all of Tucson. Call 327-4501 for information on Arizona's fastest-growing synagogue, the only full-service Reform congregation in southern Arizona. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom, it's the 4th of July weekend. Always a good time to explore on Too Jewish our twinned identities as Jews and Americans. I remember once when I was a teenager growing up in Los Angeles, I attended a teen retreat at a camp outside of town. The theme was exactly that, what it meant to be Jews and Americans both. The story's kind of complicated because the retreat was at a camp in Malibu for Temple Emmanuel of Beverly Hills, California, all of which sounds very snobby, only I wasn't actually from Beverly Hills. My dad just worked there as the cantor. I was from the wrong side of the tracks, the L.A. side, and hadn't exactly spent my life either in Beverly Hills or Malibu. In any case, the theme of that mid-1970s era retreat, I am getting old, was, are we American Jews or Jewish Americans? The core of the question was of identity. Did we identify more as Jews who happen to live in America or as Americans who happen to be Jews? It was a challenging question in an era when Jews were just escaping from the charges of dual loyalty that had dogged us, as it dogged Catholics, for much of American history. As I recall, almost all the teenagers present decided pretty quickly that we were Americans, who just happened to be Jews. Although we were proud of being Jewish, too. Some sort of concession to the way that the powers that be had constructed the retreat. The theme of that retreat sticks with me now, because we live in a very different kind of America 30-some years later. We Jews have run for president, been cabinet officers and Supreme Court justices, are a big part of the Senate and the House, have had all kinds of films made about us. We are accepted in country clubs and social organizations. We have owned and played on World Series and Super Bowl winning teams. And we've been widely accepted within American society to a degree that seems to imply, most of the time, complete acceptance by almost all of America. The issues we face now are much more focused on whether we'll continue to practice our Judaism in meaningful, resilient, enduring ways now that we are so fully American. In a way, our acceptance itself has at times been a bit disillusioning. You know, what happens when you get what you ask for and the results aren't what you expected? We Jews are now about as American as baseball and apple pie. And it turns out that means we often are just about as Jewish as baseball and apple pie, too. And I don't know a soul. It all reminds me of a Paul Simon song from about that era, that is the 1970s. The lovely and slightly sad American tune. It's about all American immigrants' embrace of liberty and the disappointments and pragmatism required to make it through each day. To highlight the bluesy quality of Simon's original song, Mandy Patinkin recorded it in Yiddish on his Mama Lushan album. I think it's a perfect play-in for this Too Jewish show in honor of the 4th of July. To be American, Jewish, hopeful, and a little sad. Kind of perfect. Verschrift sich aber es soll lustig freudig sein, als euren Gobes Gott, als euren Gobes Gott. Seinen
eine Bekannte alles im Leben ist. Ich hab kein Fein, was geht im Wein. Weiß mir auch allem, was ist nicht und sie ist. Von Feuerblech geworden Feuer. Azoi lach haigle. Nu ich will von unser Begona kleinen Freund, wo seinen mir verfolgen. Sei moecha, wo seinen mir verfolgen. Der Malch am Morgen nimmt meine Schumme putze neue Haare. Sie guckt auf im Gebäude schmeckt ein paar Ruhe und ich flieh ja mal an.
The paradoxical nature of American Jewish identity is particularly appropriate, considering that when Paul Simon wrote the original version of that song, the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, felt free to be brutally anti-Semitic in his private comments, we've got it on tape, while publicly having Henry Kissinger run his foreign policy. And it was Nixon and Kissinger who saved Israel during the Yom Kippur War by arranging an emergency airlift of supplies. Thank God that we live in different times, when overt anti-Semitism in America is unacceptable, when Israel is a much stronger and more secure nation. Perhaps we need a new American Jewish tune to celebrate that on this day after the 4th of July. Well, speaking of tunes, one of the fun things we get to do on Two Jewish is highlight a new Jewish musician or group. This week's guest, the delightful Mama Dani, that's a music name, by the way, has a particularly fun and silly cut called I Love Herring. And what could be more Jewish than that? Even maybe a little too Jewish.
He loves me not. This 11-year-old girl is so distraught. Got myself in a fishy situation because of an awkward falsification, a complication of olfactory sensations with regretful ramifications. Should I tell the boy of my secret fascination? But will he still love me when he finds out I love herring? Funny, smart, witty, just a little overbearing. Sweet and kind and always loving and very caring. I have a real nice smile, I think he likes the clothes I'm wearing. But I'm a nervous wreck at the prospect of sharing. Even though I'm a catch and possibly his perfect match, will he still love me when he finds out I love herring? It all started at a bar mitzvah party. One Shabbos in mid-July, and before the kiddush was finished, this boy had already caught my eye. And the party started to get kicking when he was doing the electric slide. And then I slid behind him on the buffet line. Gosh darn it, I would be this boy's bride. He took some egg salad, mini bagel, a smear of cream cheese. Spotlight on his hand pointing to the bowl of herring. In slow motion, his body made a huff. He cried in a fed-up, irritated voice.
Why do Jewish people eat this disgusting stuff?
I chuckled and agreed, but inside I almost died. My fake smile hurting my cheeks as I pushed my empty plate aside. Will he still love me when he finds out I love herring? Could I hold on to the secret for years and years to come? Yeah. Spoonfuls of herring covering it with spearmint gum. Yeah. It's just that this poor dish has a bad reputation. The goopy consistency and slimy presentation. vacation. But the taste of it is simply divine. To tell you the truth, I eat it all the time. That's it, I'll be an honest girl, the truth I'll finally tell. And with a little luck, maybe he'll have no sense of smell. Will he still love me when he finds out I love Harry?
That was the inimitable I Love Herring by our guest this morning, the very silly Mama Donnie. When we come back in a few moments, we'll meet her. This singer-songwriter, Mama Donnie, will delight you with her bubbly personality and tell you unusual and even strange things about Jewish music today when we return on Too Jewish.
Safety. It's a word we take for granted at home and at the workplace, but sometimes safety isn't a sure thing. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is an environmental remediation company that's been promoting safe living in Arizona since 1989. Environmental Strategies specializes in asbestos and lead abatement, mold remediation, and industrial cleaning. In addition, they have a building and remodeling division that makes it convenient for clients to get all their services from one contractor. Environmental Strategies jobs range from seam tape removal in a single-family home to insulation removal in a Challenger Learjet aircraft, and everything in between. So, if you're in need of asbestos or lead removal, mold remediation, industrial cleaning, or top-notch general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies today at 884-1114. Estimates and bids are free and confidential. Ken Goodman is the president, and he'd love to talk with you about your project. Environmental Strategies, serving all of Arizona since 1989. Call 884-1114.
We welcome Asher, the proprietor of the 5th Street Deli and Market, the finest and only kosher deli, and also the only kosher butcher shop in Tucson, plus they cater. What's the best thing on the menu at 5th Street Deli, Asher?
We have every kind of deli sandwiches, corned beef, pastrami, turkey, and lots of other kosher items. We do have Israeli food from shawarma, hummus, falafel, eggplant, and also we do have stuffed cabbage, knishes, and chopped livers.
Oh my goodness, I'm hungry even now. You also have spectacular cuts of kosher meat. I am partial to your amazing veal chops, which are the best I have ever had. Can you get any kind of kosher meat?
We can get any kind of kosher meat do you like.
Just call 325-DELI or come into the 5th Street Deli and Market, 5071 East 5th Street at Rosemont. The 5th Street Deli and Market, 325-3354 to place your order for lunch or catering or kosher meat. Tell him Rabbi Kohan sent you. We are delighted to welcome to Too Jewish our guest this morning, Mama Donnie. She is the leader of a remarkable band that does all kinds of very fun things with Jewish music, and we'll get a flavor of some of what she does over the course of the show today. Audiences have gone, mildly crazy about Mama Donnie on a variety of venues all around the country. They have four albums out now.
Three and one on the way.
Three and one in the oven. I love Hanukkah. I love Purim. I love Herring, my personal favorite title. And what's the new one going to be called?
Hanukkah Fever.
My goodness. What got you guys together, and tell me about what you do.
I am a person who always loved being Jewish, Jewish music, Jewish life. I did children's marketing before, and a few years ago was asked by my children's school, preschool teacher to come in and do like a Shabbat, like the moms do a Shabbat, and I sang the Shabbat with the kids, and she pulled me aside and said, "You need to become our music teacher at school." And I said, okay. So I got trained to be a Music Together teacher, and I started thinking about what I wanted to teach these kids, and I just realized that there wasn't the kind of music out there that I wanted to teach. So I thought I'd write my own music. And I hadn't really done a whole lot of that before. I'd been a person who'd done theater and other things, but I actually hadn't written music, so I didn't know if I could do it. And the next thing I know, I'm insanely writing music like a maniac. I wrote like 50 songs in a month or something insane. I just could not. I was like just a lunatic, and waking up in the middle of the night with lyrics of Oy Vey, and I just suddenly had this whole idea of Jewifying every genre of music for kids. So like Jewish reggae, Jewish, you know, Jewish country music, Jewish bluegrass, which I'm calling Jewgrass, Jewish pop songs, Jewish everything. And I just started going crazy, and I started wanting to, you know, write songs with Yiddish as well. So it became this kind of obsession, and I found this guy who was going to, you know, who was interested in producing it with me. We produced the album. We got asked we were invited to go to Amsterdam to be part of the International Jewish Music Festival. Next thing you know, I have a band. We're all flying to Amsterdam. The album comes out. We win this award in Amsterdam, which was crazy. We come back, and we've just been doing crazy shows ever since.
Very
long story
fun.
Short.
That was the International Jewish Music Festival in Amsterdam. And
Holland.
That's about... That was in May, so
that was
quite fresh. The Simcha Prize for inspiring joy through music.
It was wild. It was like American Idol for Jewish music.
Jew-American cool. Idol, for that matter.
Jew-American Idol. That it was cool.
What's your favorite song that you've done?
Oh gosh, I love every song that I've done because it's come from, you know, my heart. I can't even answer. I don't know. I love Herring is one of my favorite songs.
Mine too. We will hear.
So weird.
Yeah, I probably. We will hear much more from Mama Donnie when we come back on Too Jewish.
Choosing the proper care for your mother, father, or other loved one isn't easy. David Shackman and his wife, Ann, are New Yorkers who recently found a home at Handmaker, Tucson's premier provider of assisted living and senior care.
I'm 88 years old. My wife is 86. And we like staying in Handmaker because people here are very courteous and the atmosphere is nice.
Well, I like the program here because they have entertainers, have a bingo. They made a luau with Hawaiian dances.
Handmaker gives their son, Ken, peace of mind.
I know that they are going to get good service and the staff will treat them as friends.
Handmaker, centrally located on Rosemont just south of Grant, includes one and two bedroom suites, cozy studios with patios and balconies, and Tucson's most caring staff. Call 881-2323.
The food here is excellent. It's as good as any good restaurant in New York City.
For a consultation and tour, call 881-2323 or go to handmaker.org.
Where does a rabbi go for his mortgage? I called Scott Rich and his great team, who were terrific when we refinanced. Scott got me the best rate anywhere. He was honest, fast, flexible, dependable, and amazingly helpful, and his staff was the best I've seen. What's usually a challenging process at best was simple and easy. In my experience, Scott Rich is your best source for home loans of every kind. In this fast-changing world of real estate and mortgages, Scott Rich is someone you can trust. Right now, mortgage interest rates are extremely low. For refinances and purchases, it's a buyer's market. Take advantage of it. And first-time home buyers can get low rates and the $8,500 tax credit that ends December 1st. Call Scott Rich and his team at Nova Home Loans at 591-8969 and let him make your best interest his first priority. I did, and boy, was I glad. The Scott Rich team at Nova Home Loans. Call 591-8969 or email scottrich@novahomeloans.com. If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, a kvetch or a kvel, please email us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or call 520-327-4501 or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can also get CDs of all past and present shows through the website or downloading us at the Apple iTunes store as popular podcasts. A sad note in memory today. Two remarkable Jews passed away recently, and both deserve mention. The first, Cy Frumkin, was a friend and past guest of Too Jewish, one of the most important activists on behalf of Soviet Jewry ever. He played a historic role in driving the international campaign to free the huge Jewish community of the then Soviet Union, whose right to be Jewish and to learn and teach and practice Judaism was systematically denied. In the days when teaching Hebrew was a crime in the Soviet Union, punishable by years in the Gulag, Cy Frumkin helped begin and lead a great effort by Americans and other Jews around the world to force the evil empire to allow Jews to emigrate to Israel and America. He eventually helped end the repressive Soviet anti-Semitic system. Cy Frumkin was remarkable in many ways. A boyhood survivor of Dachau, he also experienced the Soviet takeover when the USSR invaded his hometown of Kovno, Lithuania, in 1940, prior to the Nazis. Having experienced tyranny from two radically different ideological fronts, communists and Nazis, he fought immoral regimes on a variety of fronts throughout his life in many clever and courageous ways. Fluent in Russian from his childhood, he monitored the Russian government's communication in ways that helped him work to assist in formulating U.S.-Soviet policy not only on Soviet Jewry, but also the Cold War itself. Cy Frumkin worked to save Ethiopian Jews, to assist impoverished Holocaust survivors. He himself, a successful businessman, was not impoverished, and to try to free Jonathan Pollard. Most importantly, Cy Frumkin mobilized public opinion in ways that helped free the Soviet Jewish community. As a personal note, a couple of years ago, Cy Frumkin received the Kohan Memorial Foundation Award for his work for Soviet Jewry and humanity, and insisted on sharing the award with another Soviet Jewish activist who was in greater financial need. A fine man has died too young. Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Cy. May his memory continue to be an inspiration and a blessing. We had another loss in the past month. The exceptional Congregational Rabbi Gerald Wolpe of Har Zion Congregation in Philadelphia died. He was a visionary leader, one of a generation of exceptional conservative movement rabbis whose accomplishments have not been approached since in that movement. His retirement in 2002 was the subject of Stephen Fried's fascinating and controversial book, The New Rabbi, about the process of replacing a legend, which he was. His son, Rabbi David Wolpe, is the rabbi of Sinai Temple in West L.A. and a national leader himself. While I know David Wolpe from my L.A. days, I only worked with Rabbi Gerald Wolpe once, but he was an outstanding man. May he rest now in peace. We welcome our Mivinar expert on Jewish ethics, Amy Hirschberg-Letterman. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Well, Amy, freedom's not really just another word for nothing left to lose, to quote that great Jewish philosopher Chris Christopherson. You know, we've been talking about relationships with parents and the difficulties dealing with aging parents and the moral issues that are called into question. Let's talk about siblings a little bit.
It's very interesting that it would be freedom, the July 4th holiday of freedom, when we talk about parents, aging parents, and siblings. Because, you know, when you have an aging parent situation and you're one of several children trying to deal with mom or dad, either needing to be put into a home, not wanting them to live alone anymore, afraid that they're going to hurt themselves in the house because they're beginning to show signs of dementia, you know, leaving a stove on or something like that. You have to really look at multiple issues of freedom and the detrimental effect of limiting freedom of a parent too soon versus the real dangers of not limiting the freedom soon enough. And ironically, at the very moment where you might have to take control of your parents' choices for them, it's also the same point in time that you might have to relinquish control between your siblings, because there may be one sibling that says, I want to do this for mom, and you don't think they're very equipped at it, but you have to give it up because you can't take charge of everything and also have some kind of sibling communication that's going to be healthy or sibling relationship that's going to be on parity with your other siblings if you take charge of everything. So there's an issue of taking control of another person's freedom, but also giving up control of your own freedom so that you have shalom bayit in your relationship with your siblings. Now, one of the things that I think many Jews are not aware of is that it's very clear in the Talmud that Jews are permitted to use their parents' resources, not necessarily their own, to provide the services that you need to provide to honor your parents, whether it has to do with food, clothing, driving them, getting someone to take care of them. You don't have to do it yourself. You can use their resources to do it. And you also have to divide up among siblings what each is best at, each according to their gifts. And so there's these multiple ways of looking at helping mom and dad that could actually be very empowering among siblings if they're willing to look at it as a way to draw closer to help their parents instead of fighting over who's doing what for mom and dad.
You know, almost like quoting another Jew, from each according to their abilities, to each
exactly
according to their needs. That was, of course, Karl Marx. But in any case,
no, it's very true when it has to do with children trying to work together, not in opposition to one another, to help aging parents, because those issues are very, very difficult to encounter, and they're And we've never done it before. We're kids, you know.
Right. We're supposed to have them taken care of us, not the other way around. Yeah, it's a great point, a constant one, and it often leads to so much friction. You know, I think in some ways my folks have done it right. We're dividing everything up equally, period, no matter what happens. And, you know, we'll take care of us, but they don't want us to take care of them anyway.
Yeah.
Not an uncommon scenario. Thanks very much, Amy. We will talk next week.
My pleasure.
The funny thing about getting older is we don't change. Oh, we may slow down a bit, but we still want to enjoy life. We want to sit down, do a delicious meal with good friends. We want to get out. We want to laugh. Call the Forum at Tucson. With independent or assisted living, you don't have to worry about cleaning the house or driving through traffic. You just relax and enjoy. Choose the Forum at Tucson because you got a lot of living to do. Call 325-4800 today for a complimentary lunch and tour. That's 325-4800 today for the Forum. When we come back, we'll hear from Tom Price on the international Jewish scene and from Jewish storyteller Jordan Hill.
Chardonnay Shabbat is here. Friday night services were never this fun before. It's a loaf of good bread, a jug of excellent wine, and you, and a delightful way to begin your weekend with Sabbath fun and friendship at Temple Emmanuel during our summer Chardonnay Shabbat evenings. Join us for Chardonnay Shabbat at Temple Emmanuel every Friday night this summer. We start with a wine, cheese, and fruit pre-owned egg Shabbat reception at 5 p.m., followed by a fun, musical one-hour Sabbath service at 5:45. Celebrate summer with Chardonnay Shabbat. There's no charge or obligation. Just a lovely way to begin the weekend at Temple Emmanuel. Temple Emmanuel is centrally located at 225 North Country Club Road between Broadway and 5th. Call 520-327-4501 for more information. That's 327-4501. Or visit our website at templeemmanueltucson.org and join us on Friday nights for Chardonnay Shabbat.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
President Obama delivered a crucial, or looked like a crucial, address on the relationship between America and Islam, Islam and the West. You were in Israel before, during, and after the speech. Talked a little bit last week about the trepidation Israelis felt on the way to the speech. Tell me a little bit about what the Israeli reaction was after this speech in Cairo.
Well, the reaction was divided, I think fairly predictably, along the fault lines which characterize Israeli political life. As I'm sure most of your listeners know, Israelis are spread much further apart on a political spectrum than mainstream Americans. There are two very far extremes of right and left, and lots of people in between, and there's real distance between various political positions in Israel. Whereas in the States, you have to look pretty hard to find a lot of space between a moderate Republican and a moderate Democrat. And people who are really at either extreme in the U.S. are considered nut jobs, whereas that's not the case in Israel. There's all kinds of positions. So people who would be characterized as centrist and left of center in Israel basically liked Obama's speech. They agreed with much of what he said. They found it a sign of constructive engagement, and they welcome America getting back into the process of making peace in the Middle East. They consider that the last 8 years have not been very good for Israel's security, and that Israel is in a much more perilous position now than she was, let's say, 10 years ago. On the other hand, people even slightly to the right of center, never mind the large number of people who are much
farther,
right. they were quite upset. Obama's selling us out. Obama's putting us in danger. We were much better off under Bush. Doesn't he recognize that Iran is, was, and will always be an enemy? Well, I mean, these are people who don't know their history, because for most of the past several thousand years, Iran has been a haven for Jews and anything but an enemy. And even now, it's not clear, as we can see in the aftermath of the recent elections there, how popular Ahmadinejad and his extremist stances on all sorts of subjects, including the existence of the State of Israel, how much that's really representative of Irani culture, the Irani people, the Iranian national will. So it's hard to characterize the Israeli reaction to the Obama speech because it was all over the boardwalk. And I would say roughly equal figures were very much in favor of the speech and very much opposed to it and disappointed by it.
I have to say, I thought one of the most clever responses was Netanyahu's response, who embraced a Palestinian state, provided it was demilitarized.
Right.
It was very smart. We'll see if anything ever comes out of either of those proposals, but very clever. We will talk next week, Tom. Thanks very much.
I look forward to it.
When we come back, we'll get the old Jewish joke of the week. We welcome outstanding restaurateur Janos Weiler of Janos Restaurant in the J Bar. Good morning, Janos.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Well, what's cooking at Janos this summer?
We're having so much fun. First, I'm so proud of what we're doing there. The food is so wonderful. It's so sophisticated. It's so complex. The flavors are so subtle. And $20.09 for entrees.
$20.09?
That's right. Choice of three main courses. That's the Janos Summer Samplers. $20.09.
You're speechless. I've never experienced that before, Janos.
I know. It's too good to be true.
It really is a spectacular deal. My wife, Wendy, calls your food magic food.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's really wonderful. It's as extraordinary as it's ever been. And to be able to offer it at these great prices for summer, yeah, it's fantastic.
So if you wanted to go to Janos and thought you couldn't afford it, now's the time.
This is it.
What's the phone number?
615-6100.
615-6100. Or people can go to www.janosjanos.com. Have a great summer. We'll see you soon, Janos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
And now it's time for the old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. This time, a classic. A young Jewish man excitedly tells his mother he's fallen in love and he's going to get married. He says, "Just for fun, Ma, I'm going to bring over three women. You try to guess which one I'm going to marry." The mother agrees. The next day, he brings three beautiful women into the house, sits them down on a couch, and they chat for a while, all of them. He then says, "Okay, Ma, guess which one I'm going to marry." She immediately replies, "The redhead in the middle." "That's amazing, Ma, you're right. How did you know?" her son asks. "Her, I don't like." That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Too Jewish, just for you. You should live and be well. We welcome our Too Jewish storyteller, Jordan Hill. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Rabbi. So here's a slightly meta story about Jewish storytelling. There was this great Jewish storyteller named the Maggid of Dubnow, and he was very much renowned, and people came far and wide to hear his stories, and it seemed that he always had a story for every single occasion. And one day, he was walking with someone, and they were curious, and they said, "Excuse me, sir, but tell me, how is it that you always have a story for every occasion?" And the Maggid said, "Well, let me tell you a story." And so he said, "Once there was a king who was off traveling through the countryside when he came upon this large barn, and on the wall of that barn were all of these targets, like targets for shooting bow and arrows. And in the center of every target, right in the bullseye, was an arrow. And the king said, 'Ah, what tremendous archery skill has achieved this? Who is the archer?' And he asked around until he finally found this young boy. And the young boy said, 'Yes, I shot those arrows.' And the king said, 'Well, if you are so well achieved, please join me. Come back to my palace and do a demonstration to show my archers your skill. Maybe teach them a thing or two.' And the boy, well, he was happy for this little adventure. He agreed. And he went with the king all the way back to the palace. And when they got there, the king called in all the archers and he had them all assembled down in the arena. And there, the young boy set up with what few things he had. He had a small bag and his bow and arrows. And he took out his bow and he took out his arrow and he looked towards the target the king had set up. And everyone waited with bated breath. And then he shot. And the arrow went flying far off to the side of the target. And everyone thought, 'What is this?' but the arrow had stuck into a wall of the arena. And the boy didn't seem perturbed. He reached down into his bag, he pulled out a bit of paint and a paintbrush, and he ran over to the wall where the arrow was stuck, and he painted a target around it, so that the arrow was right there, dead center, bullseye. And so the Magid turned to his friend and he said, "So you see, with my stories, it's much like that."
Thanks for that great story, Jordan. We'll get another one next week. And now a word of Torah. This week we read the portion of Balak in the book of Numbers, which includes some of the best words an outsider ever delivered about our people. In this parsha, one of just two in the entire Torah named after a non-Jew, 40 years of wandering have passed, the Israelites have finally arrived on the borders of the land of Canaan. They're about to move in, and they seem unstoppable to their opponents. Balak, king of Moab, comes up with a novel plan. He will hire Balaam, a pagan sorcerer, to curse the Israelites. That'll destroy their chances of defeating his army and entering his land. But the scheme doesn't work. Balaam may be a polytheistic prophet, hard to say that phrase, but he is also an honest man who conveys only what God permits him to say. That is, he's a real prophet. After consulting the Almighty, Balaam agrees to do the deed, but only to speak as God permits him to. And so we're given the intriguing spectacle of Balaam, the sorcerer, three times trying to curse the people of Israel, only to find that the words that come out of his mouth are not curses, but blessings. The last of these orations is a text that has become the prayer we use whenever we enter a synagogue. Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, how good are your tents, O Jacob, your homes, Israel. Somehow, the best-laid plans of Israel's enemies go awry, transformed by the hand of God. Perhaps more importantly, the message of this portion of Balak is a subtle one. Usually the way it works in life is that we intend to bring blessing, but bring tsoros, trouble, instead. But if we rely on God's help and inspiration, we may find that even our less than nobly motivated actions can bring blessing in place of curse. It's all a matter of remembering the true source of inspiration and creativity, and therefore of blessing, which is God. Here's a little classic recording of the Ma Tovu, the text from this week's Torah portion of Balak, the words of Balaam. How good are your tents, children of Jacob, your homes, people of Israel, from a composition by the great German-Jewish composer Louis Lewandowski. Ma Tovu, a song of welcome on entering a synagogue, in words written by the protagonist of our Torah portion this week, the pagan prophet Balaam. When we come back on Two Jewish in a few moments, we'll get the news of Jews around the world and talk with our guest, Mama Dani, the fun and innovative singer-songwriter, when we come back here on Two Jewish.
If you're like most people, your biggest purchase is your home. Don't you wish there was someone you could turn to who not only had knowledge and experience, but who truly cared about you? If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you need to know Jill Rich. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. With over 20 years of experience, Jill's one of Tucson's top realtors. She specializes in all kinds of residential property. She can find you a starter house or a castle. Jill will find you the perfect home. While the stock market has wild gyrations, real estate grows in value. If you want to invest in income property, Jill can guide you. And if you're thinking about selling your home, Jill provides a personal marketing program to sell your house fast.
You can reach Jill Rich at Realty Executives River Road Office, 615-8400. Jill provides strong representation in a caring way. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. Jill Rich, call 615-8400. We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary from guest news anchor Rabbi Ben Sharp.
Good morning. This is Rabbi Ben Sharf bringing you the news to Nashon. Despite President Obama's expressed desire to help solve the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the U.S. administration has not, as of yet, been successful in securing commitments from Arab countries to take steps toward normalizing relations with Israel. Unfortunately, President Obama's recent meeting with King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia did not produce a commitment to encourage the other Arab states to begin normalization. Quote, in such a situation, the Americans can't continue demanding gestures only from Israel, such as the demand that Israel freeze settlement construction, a source familiar with the issue said. In response, a senior White House official said talks with the Arab states are continuing with the aim of obtaining a commitment to make gestures toward Israel, and there is still hope for progress. Defense Minister Ehud Barak reportedly argued that any steps taken by Israel would have to be accompanied by assurances that the Arab states would also move forward. This would lay the groundwork for resumed talks on a final regional peace agreement. Within the next 2 weeks or so, Special Envoy George Mitchell is expected to visit Israel to continue talks. A senior diplomatic source said that even if a meeting between Mitchell and the prime minister does not resolve the settlement issue, it will narrow the gap, and the prime minister may request a meeting with Obama in Washington in the coming months to seal an agreement. Ehud Barak noted that if a package deal is reached, Israel might agree to a temporary construction freeze in the settlements, but this would not apply to more than 2,000 housing units already being built. On Wednesday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke at the traditional Independence Day reception at the residence of American Ambassador James Cunningham. Netanyahu spoke of shared values with the United States, but did not address the settlement issue. Although many senior Israeli politicians attended the event, turnout was lighter than usual. By attending, Knesset members ignored the call by Likud Representative Danny Dannon, who wrote a letter to his parliamentary colleagues this week urging them to boycott the event. He said America was, quote, trying to call into question the state of Israel's independence by pressuring it to halt construction in the West Bank and agree to territorial concessions to the Palestinians. In other news, American carrier U.S. Airways is commencing service between the United States and Israel. It inaugurated their new regular line, flying nonstop between Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion International Airport and Philadelphia this past Thursday. The airline will be flying Airbus 330 jets. The line between Philadelphia and Tel Aviv will be one of the longest that U.S. Airways flies. What's certain is that the arrival of U.S. Airways will intensify competition on direct routes between Israel and the U.S. At present, the line is flown by El Al, Delta Airlines, and Continental. Several European airlines also fly between Israel and America, with stops in Europe. And by opening up this line, it should make it easier to fly from Tucson and Phoenix to Israel. And that is the news to Nashon.
We're delighted to welcome back our very energetic guest, Mama Dani. She's the front woman, what's the right term? The leader and songwriter for the Mama Dani band. They have three albums out. I love Hanukkah, I love Purim, I love Herring, and another Hanukkah album coming out soon. The new Mama Dani craze, jump on the bandwagon as soon as possible. How does it feel to have people saying things like, you're a cross between Sheryl Crow and Tone Loc, and what does that mean?
I don't know, but it's been unbelievable. I mean, I told you I started writing this music, and I did not know if anybody was going to like it, get it. It's a little different. It's a little quirky, you know. And the response I've been getting from parents and kids and grandparents has just been honestly overwhelming and so heartwarming and so exciting. I'm just so happy and excited to do this. I love it so much. What's been cool is the response I'm getting from kids, as I just said, their parents and their grandparents, which is like this amazing thing that I watch it and I want to melt, because, you know, to have a grandma and a kid all rocking out to the same music has just been so cool.
Now, do you feel like your music is kind of shtick, or do you feel like you're doing something in addition to reaching kids?
I think that there's a Jewish humor and a Jewish sensibility that we all kind of, we all know, we all love, you know. I don't think of it as shtick, and I think of it as funny, a celebration. I think of it as, it's real music. I really think that kids relate to music, to Jewish culture, when it's introduced in like a fun and funny and light and cool way, you know. I think that Jewish culture is so cool, and I'm kind of presenting it in a different kind of way that's not so heavy and not so serious, but really underneath what I'm singing, I have a really Jewish background. I went to Jewish day schools, you know, I can read Torah. I was a bar mitzvah tutor. Nothing in my music is Judaically incorrect, at least I hope. I mean, I'm very careful to not
so
put
far
anything.
As I can tell.
I'm very, very careful because I don't want to do anything that could potentially be offensive or, you know, it's not, I don't want to say anything bad about us Jews. I want to just celebrate it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Making, so that's the answer to that one. I don't know.
No, I think it's a good answer. And the question is, what's, now that you're finishing this album, what's different about this Hanukkah album that's coming up?
Well, the I Love Hanukkah was actually it's an EP. So it was four songs. It's sort of the intro to the bigger album. The next album is a full Hanukkah experience, and it's got, you know, the track title is Hanukkah Fever, so it's like a full discoed, funky disco song about getting Hanukkah fever and what happens with the disco dreidels.
I think that is really what Hanukkah was missing, was a real disco treatment.
Well, you know, during the season, the December season, I feel like there's a whole lot of other, you know, there's a lot of music that's coming out for Christmas, and I feel like I want to put some Hanukkah music out.
Absolutely.
You know, and music that everybody can kind of get into, you know, all backgrounds.
All right, so now a technical question. The Levies told me they recorded their Hanukkah album in 8 days. They probably did. Some of the songs are great, and some of them sound like they were written in 8 days. So how long has it taken you, and do you feel a need? Obviously, you have a great creative energy to get stuff done quickly. Are you a perfectionist in the studio? How do you like to work?
This album, well, we started with the four songs that went on the EP last Hanukkah. Right. That started. And so, you know, this year has been, you know, creating the album. And look, I'm crazy, so I work a lot. The creative energy comes when it comes, you know. Sometimes it's at 4 a.m, sometimes it's on the carpool line, you know, picking my kids up from school. So it just kind of it's an energy excitement. So I feel like I'm working for I want to get this out for Hanukkah.
What are your musical influences? Who do you listen to a lot?
Well, I would, you know, somebody asked me this recently, and if I had to say, like, who influenced me, at least for the I Love Herring, it would be sort of a combination of, like, Free to Be You and Me, Jim Croce, Synagogue, let me think, James Taylor, Led Zeppelin, The Rolling Stones, Bob Marley, and
classic rock and
Debbie
reggae.
Friedman, and every Jewish artist that we all know and love. And you know, the Israel's Greatest Hits that we all, you know, the one with the orange on the thing.
Yes, the one that everybody listens to.
The one that we grew up, I mean, that's what I love.
Once you're done with Hanukkah, what's your next target?
Well, I actually am working on the part two, the I Love Herring part two. So it's going to be a sort of an eclectic mix of another sort of eclectic album, not specifically holiday focused. but I have songs that we've already kind of worked on for that one. So there's going to be a reggae song called Mazel Tov and some other fun ones.
Are you going to come up with a series of, like, life cycle stuff?
I think we're going to do, we've got a lot of ideas and a lot of things cooking. So, you know, I know we're going to be doing this Hanukkah album. I know we're going to do another album, you know. Who knows? who knows what the creative drive will be? But we're definitely, you know, we're going to do another music video for Hanukkah Fever, and we're definitely into doing these music videos. They're very fun.
Now, are these YouTube videos?
Yes.
And how long does it take you to do a YouTube video?
To produce?
Yes.
Well, we work. You know, you work on it. Luckily, we've had some really great producers who have done that part. And then, you know, you get, what's been amazing is that I've gotten all of these kids who have, like, begging to be in the videos. So we have this incredible group of families and kids that are lining up and coming and doing dancing, and it's really cool. So we have, what the fun part of the video is the energy of the being in this space with all these people just dancing and wanting to be in the video, which is really fun. So for Hanukkah Fever, I think we'll probably get everybody dressed up in, like, total 70s groovy disco attire and just put a disco ball on and see what happens.
The 70s have returned.
That's right.
And they're Jewish.
That's right.
Who have you been in contact with other bands? Who do you like working with?
I'm a big fan of Craig Taubman. I love all the Jewish bands that are out there. I'm actually, you know, I sort of do my own thing. I do a lot of JCCs and synagogues and preschools, and I'm really doing the circuit. But we do a show that's just us. So I did a concert with some other kids bands, not Jewish. I did something with Mr. Ray, who's really cool. And there's just so many amazing artists out there right now.
Donnie, tell me about the other people in the band.
Okay, so I have Adam Nelson, who's the producer of the CDs, who's brilliant and amazing, and he actually co-wrote the Hanukkah songs with me. He is also the guitar player and my brother-in-law's brother. That's Adam Nelson. He's unbelievably amazing. Alex is the guy with the dreadlocks. He's an incredible bass player, just amazing, and we all work together now on the songs. And Ken's the drummer.
And
great guys.
How'd you find these guys?
Well, my brother-in-law's brother, obvious.
Of course, it's got to be your brother-in-law's brother. I mean, how else could you put together a band?
Well, you know, he's a hip-hop artist from Brooklyn, and I actually, when I had this huge notebook of songs, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I have all these songs. What am I going to do? I called him thinking, like, he's way too cool to want to do, you know,
Jewish stuff.
Jewish, yeah, reggae songs, yeah, and stuff for kids. And he said, well, let me come by and let me hear what you got. And I sang him some songs, and he looked at me and said, I want to do this with you. This is cool. And so that's how that whole thing started. And Alex I met at the school that I teach, where I'm a music teacher. He was doing a music class in the same synagogue. So I met him there, and then Ken was his friend. Just sort of happened.
How many nights a year do you go out touring?
Well, let's see, it's sort of, apparently Purim is like our tax season. We're very busy.
You are the Purim band du jour.
It's like, holy moly, we were very busy at Purim, we're very busy at Hanukkah, and we've had a lot of shows. I think this year we've done a lot of shows locally. We're starting to really go nationally. We're going to be in Kansas City and Texas, and hopefully we're going to come to Arizona, I'm hoping.
Uh-huh.
So we're really starting to travel a lot, but it's really fun. So
now, it's fun to travel. What do you do with your kids?
Well, luckily, I haven't gone on a big tour. I mean, granted, the album came out 1 year ago, so.
Yeah. So the Garden State Parkway doesn't count as a big tour.
So luckily, it's been, we went to Ohio, but when we went, you know, we've done some away shows, and I think, you know, typically they're going to be for a few days here and there. I'm not going to be gone for, like, 5 months in a row or something. And if I do, I'll just take my kids.
Pull them out of school, take them on the Jewish
That's
road.
Right.
We Jews are used to being travelers.
We're
wandering Jews, of course.
We're wandering Jews, exactly.
Naturally.
You're funny.
Well, you know, you have to do something if you don't have a day job. Wait, I have a day job. Never mind.
Oh my God.
I want to thank Mama Donnie for a great visit. She has an actual name. I know Mama is, well, I don't know. Do you want me to reveal it? Is it okay? Is that, you know, too?
It's okay.
Are you sure?
I'm sure, but some people just call me Mama.
Do you like that?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I mean, if it's your kid. I want to thank Donnie Zasloff Thomas for a great visit on Too Jewish. The band is called Mama Donnie. You can find their CDs online at mamadonnie.com, M-A-M-A-D-O-N-I.com. And wish you the best of luck and continued great music.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
When we come back, we'll hear about next week's guest, get a final musical play out.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Come back next week. Our guest will be the outstanding Orthodox Jewish reggae and rap star in the popular world, Matisyahu. Our playout this morning comes from Matisyahu and his top 40 song about God, King Without a Crown. My friends, have a Shavua Tov, a good week, and a week, we pray, of peace.
Every day I pray to get to know ya. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, I'm bringing down to negative vibes. But I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe.
The preceding program was produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.